Wednesday, March 9th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, effective April 6th, there is a new law taking effect in Great Britain. Here in the United States, we passed similar laws decades ago. It's no-fault divorce. Dominic Raab, the Deputy Prime Minister for the United Kingdom, praised what he called an important debate in Parliament. Now, married couples no longer have to name any faults for seeking a divorce.
Yes, now remember, this particular public official is a member of the Conservative Party. In other words, now a Conservative Party member who, by definition, ought to be seeking to conserve the foundational institutions of society, of which marriage and family certainly qualify, has now said, well, listen, when it comes to breaking up the family and when it comes to a marital divorce, there really isn't any need to prove any fault. If they just don't want to live together, no matter what the consequences. And by the way, I would like to argue as a conservative that actually a no-fault divorce, therefore the breaking of the family, is actually going to be better for the children. When you hear that from a grown man, you have to sit and wonder how many people are not going to think through this, but just simply be pacified into silence as the government now undermines one of the foundations of a society, family based upon marriage. And that's what it does. It undermines. Tom, when I was growing up in Charlotte, North Carolina, there was a judge, his name was McMillan. No men wanted to appear before him in a divorce court. He took dead aim sights on them. When they came seeking a divorce, the last court he wanted to be in was Judge McMillan. And when Judge McMillan was interviewed, he said, listen, I know that there's going to be some divorces. I understand that divorce is a remedy for serious problems. But I also know this, a marriage has to last for the sake of the children, if at all possible. So I'm going to fight for marriages to last, and I'm going to hold particularly men their feet to the fire. You made a commitment. Some man gave you the right to marry his daughter because you made a commitment and a vow. And it wasn't, I'll live with her as long as I'm happy with her. It was, I will take care of her for better or for worse. I'm going to hold them accountable. Well, it wasn't long after that we elected a president who I admire in 98.5% of everything he's done. His name was Ronald Reagan. One of the things that he was responsible for in his support as a governor and as a president was this notion of no-fault divorce. And in those days, they made the same argument. Don't make a husband and wife stay together for the sake of the children. That will be bad for the children, and it will create a bad home. Well, it will if these people can't act like adults. I have no qualms in telling parents you need to stay together for the sake of the children. Now, do I believe every divorce is wrong as a Christian pastor? Absolutely not. I believe the Bible makes divorce available for two situations, but divorce is never a positive solution. Divorce is a protection for the spouse that is being violated with patterned sin. Let me say it again. Pattern sin, either the sin of sexual immorality, porneia, or the sin of abandonment. And if they have been abandoned by physical abuse, by desertion, if someone has been abandoned, then those are grounds for divorce. If someone violates the covenant of intimacy and marriage by sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, or sexual promiscuity of any type or sexual perversion, yes, divorce is an option for the protection of the victim. It is not a solution. And anyone that's been through it will tell you it's not a solution. They did a survey not long after this country embraced no-fault divorce, and it was amazing what that survey uncovered. There was one particular thing that you shared with me.
Harry, you're referring to the unexpected legacy of divorce. In that study, they came out and said only 7 of the 131 children from the original sample experienced a post-divorce home in which they had a good relationship with a step-parent.
Yeah, now that's just looking at one element after divorce. That's less than 5% of the children were able to function in the home with the step-parent that's there. And I'm not even judging what the step-parent did. The point I'm making is, quit saying it's for the benefit of the children. That survey goes on to point out the depression, to point out the medical consequences in the lives of these children, their educational failures that happen, how that divorce set that up in the lives of those children. Again, if there is the necessity of divorce, it's a biblically provided provision to protect someone being victimized by patterned transgressions in the area of sexual immorality or abandonment. Yes, then I understand it's there for that reason, and the church ought to gather around that family to help them deal with the consequences, which are inevitable. Even when it's absolutely necessary, the consequences are going to be inevitable. But if you took responsibility with vows before God and you've got children in the home, by God's grace, you need to put your big boy pants on and your big girl's pants on. Make the marriage work for the sake of these children to have a home that you brought them into. They didn't ask for it. They're in that home. Now give them their home. It's not about your happiness. It is about your joy in providing for them whom the Lord gave you to nurture and to develop and to make something work. And I can tell you this, I have done remarriages because of the power of God's grace. People that said they would never again spend any time with each other. In fact, I've done one in my own family and remarried my dad and mom after 14 years of a divorce. And their last 12 years were even greater than the ones before. And they would tell you the worst mistake they ever made when they focused upon themselves and lost sight of the Lord, walked away from the Lord, and my two youngest sisters bore the brunt of that. But God reclaimed them, and I praise God that His grace is sufficient.
Harry, that same study shares a story of a woman who almost 30 years after her father left the house could still see in her mind the details of the sun striking the patterns on the living room carpet. She was only 4 years old when he walked out the front door.
The day that her dad walked out. That same survey records the child who wouldn't take his overcoat or raincoat off in class because the last time he did, his father had left the home. Don't tell me a no-fault divorce is what we do for the sake of the children. If you want to do something for the sake of the children, then put your eyes on Jesus, repent of your sin, die to yourself, live unto Christ, and then watch what God can do in your marriage and through your marriage in the lives of your children. Now, if you mope around in your marriage playing the victim and demeaning your spouse, yep, that's going to have an effect on your children too. But if you put your eyes on the Lord, if you die to yourself and you start serving the other person and get in a godly church so that you're being encouraged through the Word of God and discipled, then you can build a marriage and you can provide the haven for the nurture and admonition of your children. That's what needs to be done. Tom, I'll never forget being engaged with another pastor when a man left his wife for about the fourth or fifth time. She came, we pastored her, ministered to her and her four children, and then I said to her, we're going after him. She said, well, go ahead. And we did, and praise the Lord, he came to Christ. He was discipled, and a year or so later, he is courting his wife. They get remarried. He becomes the vice president of a seminary. She becomes the headmaster of a school. One of her sons is the youngest tenured professor at Princeton University. Another one is the president of a college. As the Lord rescued that family. That's what God's grace can do.
May we commend to you Pastor Reeder's series, Seven Essentials for the Christian Family. This series will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. Some of the topics Harry covers includes developing a heart for the home, what about singleness, and what about divorce, marriage, and remarriage. This 12-sermon series album, Seven Essentials for the Christian Family, is available by going to briarwood.org/ the number 7, and the word essentials. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today and perspective.